Are the side characters in your stories the most interesting characters to write? Hello, I'm Jason Inman, and this is Mythmakers, a writing podcast. My goal is to interview writers, actors, and creators on some of their favorite stories to dive deep and learn with you more about their storytelling process. I think how people contemplate their favorite movies and television gives us a mirror into their creative process, into how they make modern myths, if you will. My guest today is Nick Mundy. Now, you might know Nick Mundy from the Screen Junkie show and many other things on College Humor, Conan, basically anything funny on the internet, you're probably going to see Nick Mundy in it. But he's also an accomplished writer, including Nothing to Report on Comedy Central and an upcoming movie for Crackle. So let's talk to Nick and let's dive deep and talk about story. Thank you for joining me on Mythmakers, Nick.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. We haven't done one of these in a while.
We haven't, and we're going to do one of these about something that I think many people don't credit you for, writing.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that secret of your life, I think.
Well, I'm less on the internet now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, that was always the name of the game.
Yeah, so let's... really quickly before, I want to ask you about your process and then we're going to get to the regular questions.
Sure.
But I want to ask you, tell people about some of the things you've written, because you've written a lot more than people realize.
Sure. Okay. There used to be the show called Adam.com that was on Comedy Central. I wrote a bunch of sketches from there. And then I wrote a draft of me and my partners, Clint Gage and Michael Truly, we wrote a draft of Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
For Warner Brothers, that will not get seen.
Yeah, because you're. Let's explain that. You're. This is something that a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because this podcast is all designed about like exposing like how
sure.
people write.
I've made money writing.
Yeah.
But things that people will never see.
Yeah. Which is, frustrating yet cool as a writer, at the same time. I mean, the paycheck's cool.
But sure, but like if people saw it, then
that would be even better.
Money.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. Residuals are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The residuals are the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, we've written a couple of things. We've done some rewrites to some punch ups, which is just when someone writes a script and they're like, oh, shit, we bought this and let's pay some cheap funny boys.
It's not funny enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Or funny enough or good enough or tight enough. So. And here's a little secret.
Uh-oh.
Look at your old drafts of scripts, and then you can punch it up, and then you can hate the person who wrote it, even though it's you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We just sold this script.
That is a great tip, actually, how to rewrite your script, is look at your script as if you didn't write it.
Yeah, and then hate that person.
And then be just like, be like, well, this person's an idiot.
Yeah. We actually just sold a script that we wrote a couple years ago, but we just sold it now and had a similar situation. But we just sold a feature to Crackle.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes, but just similar situation.
Can you say the name of it, or you can't say the name of it?
Yeah, why not? Well, tentatively, it's called A CIA Agent Fucked My Girlfriend.
That's a great title. I can't wait to see it on a poster.
Yeah, for 4 years, we've been trying to come up with a different title.
Okay.
Usually the title for our things is just the thing that it is.
Exactly. Yeah, right on the dot.
Yeah, right on the nose. so we'll see how that goes, but we're in the process of selling that and then, you know, again, punching it up and mm-hmm. changing some stuff. And like, you know, it's been a couple of years since we wrote that. We wrote three scripts and we are in the process of casting
Ooh.
For Wonder Twins for YouTube Red. I believe it's now YouTube Originals.
Oh, yeah. Wow. YouTube Original. That's where Wonder Twins is going.
That's where it was.
Oh, that's where it was.
And we got paid and we were in casting and it was going really well. And then YouTube Red wasn't going really well.
Mm.
And they were, no, let's stop. They didn't think making a comedy about, I don't know.
Zan and Jana?
Well, just a comedy about, this was like 6 weeks before Deadpool came out.
Oh, okay.
And so they didn't think making like a extreme PG-13 comedy about superheroes was going to play. So,
wow, how wrong they are.
Maybe they weren't.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't know.
Like, we had fun working with them. I mean, that's the thing. Like, getting something on screen's the hardest. Like, it's hard to write. It's hard to get paid to write. It's hard to get that paying thing to turn into something. You just keep doing it. until you're dead. So yeah, I mean, that was always acting and writing was always kind of the name of the game. And I've been writing a lot more lately, and I've working on another pilot for some kid show I'm working on.
Nice.
Working on a book. There's just a couple of things I've been like, been writing a lot more this year. And I've also, it also coincidentally times in with, I try to not be on the internet or Twitter, and because it's poison.
And it's probably made you more productive in terms of writing.
Yeah. Well, it has. It's just, you know, not to lambast the other stuff I've done, but that can get, talking about other people's stuff takes away from you focusing on your stuff.
It does. It kind of sucks your energy a little bit.
Good or bad.
Good and bad.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, healthy discussion about art is good because it then also fosters ideas. Like, I just saw the new Mission Impossible movie, and it's like, okay, I want to pour acid on Henry Cavill's pretty, pretty face. Because, spoiler.
Yeah. It's big spoilers for that one.
And then cut out the part where I just snot.
There's no editing in this podcast.
God damn it.
You got to apologize to the listeners.
I'm sick this week. I apologize.
I also told Nick that we could reschedule and he refused.
I have other things going on. There's baseball.
Let's talk about another thing before we get to your questions that I always ask everybody that comes on this podcast. Sure. And by the way, thank you for being, I think you're the fifth guest. Thank you for being the fifth guest in this podcast.
I saw the first one when you did with Riley. And I was like, I went in.
What's your writing process? What is your writing process like? Do you like to write in the mornings, afternoons? Do you listen to music? Like, generally, just tell us how do you write?
Well, I have two partners. So if you're with partners, the first thing I would do is, if you're writing, read Ben Grant and Thomas Lennon's book about how to write movies and make money.
Oh, that's a great book. Yeah.
Read that book. And then what we do...
Isn't it called like something, How to Write and...
That is not the title. That is not the accurate title.
What no, it's it? Something like Make $1 million or something. So,
Ben Grant, Thomas Lennon,
I'm gonna
from
Google
the
it.
State. Now you're going to have to cut it.
No, no. No, I'm going to Google it. It's all staying in.
So what we do is because we tend to write features, we have to outline. Because there's three of us, we outline a shit ton. Like usually 25 pages, 30 pages.
That's good.
Because when you outline, if you get lost, this can fill it in. And sometimes all you're worrying about is just dialogue. Granted, dialogue's important, but you're able to track and stuff. Mm-hmm.
The book, by the way, is Writing Movies for Fun and Profit.
Exactly. And that's what I said, more or less. Just look up the author's name.
Yep.
So it's an outline. So sometimes it's just... Now, right now, I'm working on this pilot by myself that I'm going to bring the guys in. So it's just been me, and I didn't outline that much, which has been fun and also frustrating, but it's also just been a good exercise. Writing for me can... Like, sitting down and typing words is really hard for me sometimes. I can come up with ideas, and I cleaned up all my post-it notes of ideas and arcs and stuff nonstop. I can brainstorm like crazy, which is important and I think a huge part of the process. Otherwise, I'm useless.
But actually sitting down forming it into a script.
Well, not even just a script, because like I can write like outline stuff, or I could just write pages of dialogue. But when I have to sit in front of Final Draft or Writer's Duet, then I'm like, oh, I better go check to see how the world is burning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing things to work on that. No, but I can't work in with music playing. I can't. If I have any like type of like small distractions, what I'll do is, okay, I'm right all week. Monday, I'm taking care of every sort of bullshit thing I have to do, errand-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 4 days, I'll try to write as much as possible.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I also go to the library now.
Oh, just to escape
the public
house?
Library. Yeah.
If I want to change it up. You actually have a really good one right down the street.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't like going to... I never go to coffee shops or... I used to go
They're too distracting. I can't do that either. I cannot write in a coffee
shop. I'll go to a bar and drink some beer if I'm outlining.
Mm-hmm.
Or generating ideas. But yeah, no. Right now it's just... I got a little writing nook I'm about to get rid of. And also I lay on the couch like a 16-year-old girl on a diary or on my bed.
Except with your laptop. or your notebook.
Yeah, and then just write that way. Like,
wow.
I'm like with my legs up, kicking back and forth. That works for me.
Nice.
But yeah.
All right.
So also do some type of physical activity while you're writing.
Okay, to explain that. Like, what,
like,
do you do?
I'll go to the gym.
Right before you write?
I know you see me. I'm not a gym guy. I become a gym guy. Yeah, and this is a new thing I've been doing is, like, I'll work out. Like, I'll make sure, like, I'm doing some type of physical activity, which clears out any nervousness or anxiety because you're just like, okay, now I'm just going to work. Don't do it to the point of exhaustion, but do it to the point where, like,
you feel your
get rid of that anxiety. Yeah. Get rid of that anxiety. Yeah, and then if you're, like, if you have a real deadline, say, like, we've had things where, like, oh, we have to do a rewrite in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember I've spent a couple of Thanksgivings just completely, for it's always Thanksgivings, where I'm just writing 10 pages a day, which is huge for me. But what I did was I'll buy, like, an Xbox or something, or, like, the new Halo comes out, or, like, and I'll play an hour of that and then write and not, and when people are inviting me to Thanksgiving, ignore them.
Wow, now that is usually the opposite. I would think that the Xbox would be the distraction to where you wouldn't write. But do you look at it as like, okay, if I play Xbox for an hour, then I have to write?
Well, when you're getting paid and there's a deadline.
Sure, that does change a lot of stuff, yeah.
Paid deadline writing is easier to write than like, oh, I'm just trying to get this done.
Yeah.
But you have to get that, but that's more important because then you can't get the paid work.
Exactly.
So it's exactly.
All right, so I want to pick into your brain. I want to figure out how your writer brain works. So, of course, I'm going to ask you the same three questions I've asked all the writers on my questions. Nick Mundy, I want to know, who is your favorite fictional character of all time?
There's a baby crying.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of me.
Yeah.
Look, there are so many characters. Mm-hmm. I love fictional characters. There's a lot of them. This was the hardest one. I know the fictional character I would want to write, and that's how I judge this.
That's fine. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're like, I'm having trouble. Granted, my brain's not working right now. I'm having trouble figuring out because there are so many good fictional characters. The one I've always wanted to write, and I know I could write well, is Guy Gardner from
DC Comics, Green Lantern Corps. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's a prick. No one likes him. He gets punched all the time. He's a big dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be fun as hell. Like, what Geoff Johns did with Green Lantern was great, and they all have their own thing, but that's the... he's obviously the most fun to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not some anime artist guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Or,
come on, I like the anime artist guy. Come on.
No, I know. Hey, look, Kyle's great. We all want to kiss Kyle. But we all want to write for Guy and John. No, I think Guy Gardner would be, thinking about like a Shane Black directed action movie with Guy Gardner and like pick anyone else teamed up with him. And he's a drunk and he's an asshole and it would be like The Last Boy Scout, but in space.
Well, that's interesting. John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Last Boy Scout, and Skate. I could see that. I could really see that.
Yeah. I mean, it would be...
Do you like him because... the description is he's just kind of a dude's dude. He's not...
Like him because I don't think he likes superheroes.
You're probably right.
I like him because he's just like... he thinks all this stuff is kind of dumb, which I love superheroes and stuff.
But most of it's dumb.
Yeah. I mean... especially, yeah, no. So I think he would hate having fans.
And he would have a lot of groupies.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, that there's a story with that too. But yeah, I think like him on out of his luck, that like super downtrodden superhero who's like has to get his badge back would be like, you know, think about Last Boy Scout in space. Is something I want to... No, because Last Boy Scout's one of the most underrated action movies in the world. It's funny as hell. I think it's... dare say, it's my second favorite Die Hard.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. So, you're talking about Guy Gardner, Last Boy Scout.
Bruce Willis would have been the greatest Guy Gardner.
Really? Bruce Willis?
Yes.
All right. I'll
Who
give
else would have been better Guy Gardner?
I don't know. I've always said for a long time that I thought you would make an interesting Guy Gardner. I said that on the internet several times.
Well, I'm flattered.
And I still think you're age appropriate for that role. If Geoff Johns finally gets his ass in gear and makes this movie. But that's beside the point.
Look, Josh Gad will make an excellent.
But for Guy Gardner, okay, do you like an Earth-based Guy Gardner, or do you want to throw Guy into space where he thinks everything is stupid? Like, where do you feel like, how do you feel
kind
about
of both?
Yeah.
You start off with same down on the low. Okay, this is what I'd do. He was Green Lantern for like 10 years.
Yeah.
He's like 40. You start off at 25. He flamed the fuck out. But like, he did all these battles. Like, everyone knows who he is. He mm-hmm. was, you know, because he's a superhero.
Yeah.
But now he's just like the guy who's living in an apartment in Reseda. And it's kind of like The Wrestler, but funnier. Yeah, it's the wrestler.
It's The Wrestler now.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to conventions. He's signing shit. He doesn't have the ring.
Oh, he lost the ring.
Yeah, no, they took it away because like he flamed out. It was just like.
All right. And he's going to like all the Sad Alley conventions now.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, he can't even book Comic-Con.
I'm right.
But why would he go?
I like this movie, man.
Because he started a riot at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Okay, good. I like this.
And then all this, like, you know, shit goes down.
He punched a Batman in the face for Batman punching him. He was
yeah,
drunk.
The there infrared core or what? I got to catch up on.
Comics. Red Lantern core. Oh, God, don't even talk about that. Let's not even talk about that.
Yeah, infrared but like he gets a ring and then, you know, takes him into where he has to go do shit. And he'll never be a hero on Earth, but he's still a hero to other people, even though he's mm-hmm. not a hero to himself.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you know this about Guy Gardner. That's why I want to ask. Do you know about this period in the 90s where
the warrior bullshit?
Yeah, where he got like they found out he was part alien and he had powers inside him. Like, do you consider that all just horseshit? Like, you just it's got to be.
I mean, I would probably incorporate that as like, you know, making fun of him at one point.
He took drugs at one point and it was an alien drug and it gave him powers.
Yeah, like that's what he did. It's like you can incorporate like you became like this. Bioweapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just trying to fucking do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My favorite Guy Gardner actually is the Guy Gardner during Kyle Rayner's run where he owns the bar Warriors and it's sort of like a Planet Hollywood, but not as chintzy for Green Lanterns.
Yeah, that's the final scene when he opens up.
Oh, he always, there we go. Yeah. Man, I like this movie. I really like this movie.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be really good.
Did you have any runners up for your fictional character?
I mean, we're probably getting to them.
Okay, if we're getting to them, let's save them then.
I'm just trying to, like, it's always like character actors. It's like Brent from Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is one of my, one of the weirdest performances and the weirdest mm-hmm. characters in any movie. Like, he's just, it's fascinating how, like, you can see how much he doesn't like Mr. Lebowski, and he certainly doesn't like Jeff, but like this is a good job. Like, I'm just fascinated by that mm-hmm. character. I know that's a weird obscure, but like
no,
that's just
cool.
One of my favorite characters. And Nigel from Spinal Tap, because he's the most aware, self-aware of him, and he just wants to play music while David and mm-hmm. and everyone else is fighting.
I'm noticing a trend of just these dudes, just these guys that are either not part of the norm.
They're not part of the narrative necessarily, but they make like an impact because like what they do with so little says everything about the story.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the, not the muses from that. I just watched that Hercules cartoon movie with James Woods, which is bizarre.
I saw it in the background recently from some friends of mine watched it. Yes. It's
just whatever every guy in their mid-30s is doing is watching the 1997's Hercules with Tate Donovan.
Yeah.
No.
What happened to Tate Donovan? There we go. Let's not go down that road.
Sure. Anything Danny DeVito's in. I mean, we're not talking about acting, but like almost any character he's. You know what? I got a good one. Yeah, the Penguin from Batman Returns.
I wondered if we were going down this road.
Yeah.
Specifically Tim Burton's Penguin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was just a ludicrous character, and it was written like a goddamn, like, cartoon video game cutscene.
Yeah.
But like DeVito, I mean, we're talking more acting. That's more of an acting.
Sure, sure.
But like, just the combination of both is just preposterous.
Yeah. Well, the scene that kind of encapsulates how I feel about that movie and even the writing of that movie is the scene where Penguin eats that fish.
Oh, yeah. That's the scariest thing.
While he's walking through the office. And I've always wondered, was that a script thing? Was that a Tim Burton thing? Or was that a Danny DeVito thing? Like, whose choice was it?
I bet DeVito pushed for it.
To have him eat this gross fish the entire scene. Because it's really gross. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is who it is. Yeah.
Anything Jan Hooks or we'll explain.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, like, again, I'm sorry I don't have like
more it's all
fluid
good
answers, but like those are, it's always the side characters
who make impact.
Well, whose point of view is the right one.
Okay.
And who are like, are just trying to, I think it helps the story too of like, you know, like one of my favorite movie that we're going to talk about, written movie, is A Few Good Men.
And, Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm looking up the name because, again, my brain's broken.
And I'm not editing this out, so don't worry about it.
Great.
Just, you know, keep going. It's all good.
Hey, man. Good time brains.
Yep.
you know how brains work.
Well, you know, again, it's interesting.
Okay, so Kevin Pollak in
For
You Good Men is the movie's conscience. And he's written that way, where it's like he doesn't like the two officers in trial.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like, and I think that's, I like those characters. I like writing those characters. The characters are almost like, not pointing out to like where it takes you out of the movie, but like the ones that like you, they keep on track. They're a good utility to have.
Well, let's hop into the next category. We already know what your last one, and we'll get there. What is your favorite book / comics? Like, what's your favorite like written piece?
Okay, so with books, it's interesting because I like a lot of, well, it's not interesting. I like a lot of nonfiction.
Okay.
I read a lot of biographies.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I read a lot of nonfiction. I read a lot of like process. I read a lot of like extended news things like, you know, Game Change and like all you know, anything that about a recent event, I like reading more and more detail about. And I love baseball. So one of my favorite books is, you know, one of them was also Friday Night Lights, which they've mined. They're still mining for material.
Yeah.
Because I like a lot of fictional, non-fictional stories that have, they have real strong narratives. Which that does. And Moneyball does too. Moneyball, if you're not familiar, was the book Michael Lewis wrote about the Oakland Athletics, who back in the early aughts and 90s were, they didn't have a lot of payroll, but they were still one of the most competitive teams in baseball because they used sabermetrics and numbers analysis and combined with scouting to figure out the inequalities of baseball, the like how to build a team for cheap but successful.
Yeah.
And it's been now used over and over again. And my favorite team, now there's a book by Ben Ryder called Astro Ball, which because the Astros have now taken that formula, changed it, and perfected it to like, and now they won the World Series, which the A's could never do. So these books fascinate me, to know, especially the Astros. But Moneyball was great because he had a lot more years over to do it. And there's a chapter in the book when they're doing the draft. And there's another chapter when they're making trades, which I'll just read those chapters because it's like some of my favorite stuff with baseball. But it's also like hotly, it's like written like a thriller.
Yeah.
For a non-fictional book about math and formula and fat catchers.
Yeah.
Like it's, to me, compelling stuff. If you can take, it's something also I can never do is take like a non-fictional subject and create drama and tension, and like there's chapters I've cried over it, like, and there's also a shit ton of math formulas in this thing. So it's like learning how math works again.
You said a statement there that's very fascinating, and it's something that's resonated with me, is that It's the same thing. I'm very afraid of writing a true life event.
Sure.
Like, I've had this idea, and I won't say who it is because I don't want to give it away, but I've had this idea for writing a screenplay based on this television writer for a long, long time. Sure. And this television writer did a lot of interesting stuff before he ever became a television writer. And that's how I would want to mix the two timelines. Like, I want to show you his life before TV and then his life in TV to justify or show the absurdity. Sure. Of like, oh, this guy was like a real dude. But it's one of those things where I'm like, ah, man, I'm always afraid of how do you make it interesting? How do you make it or what's pushing too far before it becomes not even this guy's life, you know?
Sure. So, you know, and the movie was pretty good, but like the book gets into the nitty gritty stuff, which I love. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, it's just, I probably read that book like 10 times. Over the
and it time. is 100% yours. Is it your favorite book? Or do you have another book that like connects with you more than that?
I mean, I think like I've always loved Beowulf.
I love that one too.
Yeah, I love Beowulf. Yeah. I think it's the first like comic book. Mm-hmm. Some of it's terrible and bad, but like I've always liked Beowulf. Sure. Since I was a kid. I like, but I also like, you know, when I was a kid, all I wanted for Christmas was the Bo Jackson autobiography. And so, like,
yeah,
I have a lot of autobiographies, which are hilarious.
You know, but that's okay. I like that about you, though, because that's a fact that I agree with. That, I mean, fact is always stranger than fiction. People's sure. lives go, and I always find that.
Well, also how yeah. they portray themselves too.
Yes,
and which is usually mixed with a ton of hubris.
Yes, yeah. It's a weird idea. It's always a weird thing, especially nowadays, where you'll see double biographies from people, like where you had the first biography and then like 10 years later they write the second biography, and you're like,
not much has happened.
Yeah, you're like, okay, all right, I guess.
I've written more wrestler biographies than I care to admit. But. They're fun.
I imagine those are interesting, though.
I enjoy that world.
Especially the days before they broke big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But some of that's sad as hell. Yeah. One of my favorite comic book runs is the Grant Morrison Batman era.
Oh, nice. With Adam Kubert all the way to RIP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Batman Incorporated. And what I liked about that mm-hmm. was while there was dark stuff, Batman was actually fun.
Yes.
And swashbuckling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And had sexual intercourse with models.
He did.
And that was part of his workout routine, but he was respectful.
They just made a giant omnibus of that. I just bought it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should maybe pick that up.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of my favorite Batman runs of all time, too.
I don't know why people don't, like, you're just trying to adapt Frank Miller's horseshit over mm-hmm. and over again. And I'm like...
You're a fan of a happy Batman.
I Yes, because mm-hmm. it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying he's necessarily happy, but he's... Batman obviously has a personality disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
He's unhinged to a certain degree.
Yeah.
He has to like doing this. He doesn't not like doing this. So, and he's a billionaire. It would be like, okay, look at Elon Musk. Like, that's your Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, that's your Bruce. Billionaires are broken in their brains.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's proven.
Yeah. It's the only way they could become billionaires. It's proven. Like, something has to be kind of wrong.
Plus, Bruce Wayne's old money. It's not like he earned it. So look at billionaires. Okay, I'll go you one better. Look at billionaires' sons. Look at what makes them up in their brains. It'd be Donald Jr.
Trump Jr. is probably the best example. Yeah.
Man, people are gonna not like that. I'm not saying Bruce Wayne is Donald Trump.
No,
Jr.
but
what I'm saying is, as much like the source of anger over and over again does not fit into what a real billionaire, old money billionaire would
be like. Yeah,
no, he would be like skiing off mountain. He would be a Bruce Wayne they make up, mm-hmm. but also be.
Yeah.
Doing all this shit. And that was Batman to me. Like, that was Grant Morrison's Batman.
Yeah, he was very good. Did you ever hear the theory behind his run?
No.
So
Well,
he did this interesting interview where he talked about that the reason why he made Swashbuckler Batman, the reason why he did that, is that he decided that everything Batman had done up to that point, all 7 years, all happened.
Yeah, totally.
He made it real. And so he worked it through, and he was like, if all of this happened, like, we have the crazy Batman from the 1950s, if we go Frank Miller in the 80s, and then he gets his back broken in the 90s, I think in the 2000s, he'd be like, ah, screw it. And he'd be fun again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they don't make a movie off R.I.P. would be, is...
Yeah, it's crazy. We're even leaving Batman and Son. But yeah, that's good. Oh, that's interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we know the answer to it, but I want to talk about it anyway. The last question is, what is your favorite movie / TV show / play?
I did answers for all three, but we'll focus on... Ooh,
okay. Few Good Men is your favorite movie. And why Aaron Sorkin's Few Good Men?
You know, man, it's just... It's Aaron Sorkin before he became Aaron Sorkin. So he's less like indulgent and just focused
less
on...
Less walk
like,
and talks.
Yeah, it's just focused on like tight dialogue. I mean, I watched this movie with my dad's an attorney. Mm-hmm. So we watched this movie. I was like maybe 9 years old with my folks watching it. I was like, I don't want to watch this movie. And they're like, shut up. We're watching this movie. We watch all of your crap. We're watching this for me. And it was great. I mean, it's a really good movie. It's a great story. There's great dialogue. It's just, it moves really fast. It has all this technical stuff, but mm-hmm. like you learn it on the fly. And it's just, it's a good movie. A good script is one that you could watch over and over and over again. Agreed. And I think that says more to the script.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're hearing these words over and over again. And if you can, you know, as soon as you see it on TNT.
If you stop.
Yeah, if you stop and watch it. Granted, I'll do that with also National Treasure 2. So that's not like a foolproof test.
What are they stealing National Treasure 2? I've never seen it.
I think they're stealing the gold in the president's head in North Dakota.
Oh, good Lord. All right, okay, move,
to
let's
stop.
I've never seen two.
The Second Civil War.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's go back to
that. I'll tell you about my idea for National Treasure 3.
All right. You're going to put it. I want to hear that. National Treasure 3. We're going to get around to that.
So, yeah. No, I think it's just it's a really good script. I mean, great performances. And, yeah, I mean, that Sorkin is a good writer. Now yes. It's just like, oh, God. Now he's Aaron Sorkin.
Well, he does the... It's like we talked about with the I can't remember our point we made earlier, but he rests on his laurels. Like because he's Aaron Sorkin,
sure.
He kind of has these trappings. And so you can tell when Aaron Sorkin puts out a script that he cares about and when he puts out a script that he just doesn't care about. To me, I look at The Social Network and I'm like, oh, Aaron Sorkin really cared about this project. And then I look at a project like Steve Jobs and I'm like, oh, yeah, he just... took the paycheck on this one. He just didn't care. Because sure. I can see because there's been so much Aaron Sorkin, I can see lazy Aaron Sorkin now.
Sure.
Or the
like I was about to say like...
And this is me saying I love, like The West Wing is one of my favorite television shows of all time.
Sure, sure, sure. No, it's great. This is what... Aaron Sorkin with all the trappings and getting notes.
Well, this is Aaron Sorkin writing a screenplay off of the Broadway play
that he wrote,
which is one of his very first things ever.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I think it works so well is because I think notes are important.
Mm-hmm.
They can be terrible and awful, but they're good. It's why I don't like Nolan's new movies as much because he doesn't get notes.
Oh, yeah.
Like certain people, when they become so big, they don't
get notes at all.
Yeah. And that's a problem. It's mm-hmm. George Lucas's problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He didn't get notes. That's the biggest problem with the prequels.
So for A Few Good Men, he said it was Sorkin before Sorkin. He said it's like is it the plot or is it the characters that you like more?
It's everything. It just kind of hits all the things. I like legal dramas.
Oh, yeah.
I like my favorite... Okay, my underrated second favorite genre of movies is adult contemporary thrillers.
All right.
Like, I like courtroom thrillers. I like good dialogue. I like...
So like A Time to Kill, Lincoln
Lawyer.
Yeah,
and this is a bad way to put it, but it's like... But it's so... This is so much better than a Michael Crichton movie. Or not Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton.
No, the lawyer version of Michael Crichton.
John
Grisham.
John Grisham.
Yeah, it's just a party boy lawyer who doesn't know what he's doing, but he's brilliant as hell, but he'd still rather just play softball. And you get all the characters, you root behind the characters. I mean, you root behind Jack Nicholson at one point.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, I just realized I'm not this bad Jack Nicholson. But he's great. You like him. And then you get Colonel Markinson, who's just the again, one of my favorite performances, one of my favorite characters, because Colonel Markinson is fucking insane.
Who plays Colonel Markinson in that movie?
I forgot who played
him. I don't remember. You keep telling the story. I'll look it up.
No, but like Colonel Markinson, Kevin Pollak, it's these side characters that like Kevin Bacon. I think it's Kevin Bacon's best movie.
I would kind of agree with you on that one. Yeah, Kevin Bacon's pretty amazing in that movie. And that's the other thing about there are
It's Kiefer Sutherland's best movie.
Yeah, like Noah Wiley's probably best movie. And yeah, he was in NER.
I'm not going to say it's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s best movie, but
I forgot he was in that.
No, this is actually it's my favorite Tom Cruise movie.
It is one of the best Tom Cruise movies, easily.
I think it's just good. I'm honestly surprised Sorkin and Tom Cruise haven't done anything else again.
Well, Sorkin, I know. I'm looking at it right here because I don't know who directed it.
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner, there you go. So I don't know. Maybe Tom Cruise and Sorkin didn't have much to do on set. But that is an interesting thing to say. To be like, yeah, why haven't they done anything?
Christopher Guest is in it. I mean, yeah, it's just a really... All the characters have their own little arcs.
J.T. Walsh is Colonel Markinson.
Yeah.
J.T. Walsh. Man, yeah,
All the characters, there's a lot of characters, and they all have their purpose, and they all have their
Joshua Molina is in this. Aaron Sorkin's is the man in Bar, so he makes a cameo.
It's just a really good, tight movie that's as long as it's supposed to be, and every character has their arc. Every character makes an impact.
Now, you said that you had... Also made. All right. Before we get into your other, because you said you had other, you made a TV show choice and you made a play choice. So yeah. I want to hear those as well.
Sure.
But before we get to that, I want to hear, what is your pitch for National Treasure 3?
Oh yeah.
What do they steal, man?
Christmas spirit. In the North Pole.
So Santa Claus is in National Treasure 3.
Yeah. I feel like that's the logical conclusion. I've written too much about like 10 years ago.
Oh man.
Yeah, we got told to like, hey, to do a pit, like we had to do a cleanup on this Christmas feature. And I was like, I just want to make this National Treasure 3. And I just I just started writing ideas for National Treasure 3.
Oh, man. All right. I would be down to see the movie. All right. So
We got to steal the greatest treasure of all.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's good, Nicholas. Yeah.
He's by the way, I just recently saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies. He's Superman. He's the voice of Superman in Teen Titans. The entire movie, I was watching this movie and I was trying to figure out. Yeah, I thought it was great. I was trying to figure out who was voicing Superman. I know that voice. And about an hour into the movie, I was like, oh my God, it's Nicolas Cage.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah. God damn it. All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we gotta go see
a children's movie.
All right, what's your favorite TV show?
News Radio.
That's a great... I love News Radio.
News Radio. Used to watch it with my mom all the time, especially in syndication.
Talk about a show full of great characters.
Great, great characters and just absurdity.
Yeah.
It was so silly and absurd. And it was a network TV show, too. Yes. It was like...
It was an NBC show, yeah.
It was like on the NBC, like... It came off like Mad About You in between like Friends and Boston Public.
And it so doesn't match any of them.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And I think that was always the problem because it was, I mean, they would just do a space episode or a Titanic episode. And Phil Simms created the show. And I was a huge Kids in the Hall fan.
Yeah, me too.
And huge Phil Hartman fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Phil Hartman more than anything. I'm
with you on that one. Phil Hartman, I think, is the best person to come out of Saturday Night Live. I think he's because you get in arguments with people where you're like, who is the most talented person to ever be on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
And I kind of think it's Phil Hartman.
And it definitely is. Well, you know what? No, it's a great written movie. And just like Small Soldiers is so underrated.
Yeah.
And it's like, look at that movie. Read that script. Like, they make that movie work.
They do.
And no, no, man, like, Every episode is weird and wonderful.
I kind of feel News Radio was a little bit ahead of its time.
Oh, big time.
Which
big
is the reason why. Like, one of my favorite gags in News Radio was, is it, did Stephen Root play Jimmy?
Or, Jimmy James.
Jimmy James, yeah. They had a recurring multi-year joke that he was D.B. Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Which I loved. Which,
yeah.
If you don't know who D.B. Cooper is, go Google it.
Yeah, no, which is, no, absolutely. No, it was one of the best.
Yeah.
Fuck Stephen Root in that. I mean, it was, it made Joe Rogan funny.
Right?
Yeah. So, done.
That deserves an award on itself.
Yeah. Me and my mom watch that show all the time. We still do. Just the best show.
Yeah. I wish it was streaming somewhere. That's one that I would love to read.
I think it's on Crackle.
All right.
Not that I'm plugging Crackle, but
yeah, a lot of Crackle plugs.
Crackle's got some.
Okay, let's hear your favorite play.
1776.
I kind of thought this might be the answer.
Yeah.
I've seen you tweet many times about it. Why 1776? The pre-Hamilton, as many people would say.
Because the songs are great.
Mm-hmm.
They're great songs. And it's all horseshit. It's factually dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very wrong. But it's great. Like, the songs are awesome. I'll listen to this. Like, 4th of July, I'm singing every single song, like, over and over again. Like, it's just, it's not even the best musical I've ever seen. But,
yeah.
Like, man.
When was the first time you saw it?
Junior high in a history class. I've never seen the, I've seen the musical.
Have you actually seen it on stage?
Or
you
yes. Okay. Yeah, my buddy was in it.
Okay, cool.
A smaller production in Glendale.
Yeah.
But, which was good. And then I missed out in school. Like, a year later, I was like, oh, I wish I failed out of school. Because, no, but I mean, I went to public school. So every couple of weeks, they would be like, look, we're watching a movie this week.
Yep.
And we watched 1776. And I was like, what is this bizarre shit? Because it's insane. Like, Tim and Eric are great. And, you know, I love silly nonsense more than anything.
Yeah.
But when there's silly nonsense grounded in a grounded piece,
mm-hmm.
that's the best.
Yeah.
Like News Radio.
Yeah.
Where it's like the sitcom, but then it's also like
really bizarre.
Yeah. Like, oh, they're doing a whole episode about canes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but like 1776, it's like, they talk about sex so much in that.
Yeah.
The whole, Thomas Jefferson wasn't going to write the Declaration of Independence because he wanted to get laid. And John Adams is singing to his wife Abigail wants to have sex, but he doesn't because he needs saltpeter for George Washington's guns. And then when she says pins, it's not pins. It's penis stuff. Because it's good writing.
All right, man.
So are my answers pretty much like everyone else's?
No, your answers are quite different. Everybody's answers have been quite different, and that's the whole point of this podcast is to like let people...
What's your favorite answer you've heard so far?
Of yours?
No, of ever.
I don't know. I really like Guy Gardner. I think that's the most interesting fictional character answer I've had so far.
Yeah, and again, it's not like... I took it as like, what would you want to write?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, and again, these questions, again, that's the idea. Sure. It's like, I want to hear how your writer brain works.
Because there's certainly other...
Because I think, you know, the whole reason behind this podcast was so many writing podcasts are just like, so what are you working on? Tell me about how you're writing. And I don't think that's interesting. And I also don't think that helps writers. I think hearing how another person's brain looks at the world helps inform your writing because you're like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And I think it opens some doors.
My brain is weird.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. No, you have shown to me that you like the idea of the side character who maybe is the person that is the most normal in the movie or is the most morally right in the movie
it's
that makes
like,
a big impact.
It's kind of like the old Grecian poems, like mm-hmm. the muse who kind of like pushes the world on.
Yeah.
Like who's commenting on the movie. It's like the voice of the audience.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Fuck is that?
Yeah, it's the person. It's the character that, you don't want to go down this road too far. It's the character that I felt the Star Wars prequels was missing because Han Solo if you watch the original Star Wars, was always like Ben Kenobi tells us about the Force, and Han Solo goes, "That's a hokey religion."
Yeah,
and we didn't have that character in the prequels to say you Jedi are stupid.
Yeah, there's...
So, yeah, those characters are needed.
Yeah, it's weird how this became about prequels needed notes. They needed a grounded character.
National Treasure 3.
National Treasure... It's just all about National Treasure.
What's the subtitle of National Treasure 2? Is it Book of the Dead? I don't know. No, it's...
Probably.
Civil War 2?
Yeah.
So
Book of Secrets?
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yep.
Oh, yeah, because they kidnapped the president. They kidnapped the president.
We're going to kidnap the president. So National Treasure 3 is... Christmas motherfuckers? I don't feel like what?
It's like, Santa's been keeping the greatest treasure of all, Christmas spirit.
All right, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Let all the Patreon listeners know, where can they find you online if they want to find some of your writing and support your future goodness?
The thing that you can find online is nothing to report on Comedy Central, YouTube channel.
I forgot about go watch Nothing to Report. Is it on YouTube still, or is it only on Comedy Central? Nothing to Report. Great. Chris Jericho and Nick being awesome.
Thanks. And many other people. And then, you know, check out the Team Tiger Awesome show. It's with me and my two writing partners. You'll get a process of how we work and just like bounce ideas off, and it's like...
And you can find that. It's a podcast. It's on iTunes.
It's everywhere.
It's on everywhere you can listen to it.
It's where things live.
Yeah, there you go. That's
like, we all know how podcasts work.
Yeah, they're all out there.
Come on.
In the airspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just download it.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for talking to me about writing.
Hey, man. Anytime.
And that was my chat with Nick Mundy. Thank you so much to Nick for joining me on Mythmakers. Please go follow him on Twitter at Dick Fundy. That's DickFund. And thanks to everyone at my Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin that made this writing podcast possible. I'm Jason Inman, and I look forward to talking story with you in the future.